First readings from Exodus. Then Moses said to the whole community of Israel, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Take a sacred offering for the Lord. Let those with generous hearts present their gifts to the Lord. Come, all of you who are gifted craftsmen. Construct everything that the Lord has commanded. The tabernacle and its sacred tent, its covering, clasps, frames, crossbars, posts and bases. The ark and its carrying poles. The ark's cover, the place of atonement, the inner curtain to shield the ark. The table, its carrying poles and all its utensils. The bread of the presence. For light, the lampstand, its accessories, the lamp, cups and the olive oil for lighting. The incense altar and its carrying poles, the anointing oil and fragrant incense, the curtain for the entrance of the tabernacle, the altar of burnt offering, the bronze grating of the altar and its carrying poles and utensils, the washbasin with its stand, the curtains for the walls of the courtyard, the posts and their bases, the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the tent pegs of the tabernacle and courtyard on their ropes, the beautifully stitched garments for the priests to wear whilst ministering in the holy place, the sacrament and the sacred garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments for his sons to wear as they minister as priests." So the whole community of Israel left Moses and returned to their tents. All whose hearts were stirred and whose spirits were moved came and brought their sacred offerings to the Lord. They brought all the materials needed for the tabernacle, for the performance of its rituals, and for the sacred garments. Both men and women came, all whose hearts were willing. All the women who were skilled in sewing and spinning prepared blue, purple, and scarlet thread, and fine linen cloth. So the people of Israel, every man and woman who was eager to help in the work the Lord had given them through Moses, brought their gifts and gave them freely to the Lord. So Moses summoned Bezalel and Aholiab and all the others who were specially gifted by the Lord and were eager to get to work. Moses gave them materials donated by the people of Israel and sacred offerings for the completion of the sanctuary. But the people continued to bring additional gifts each morning. And a reading from 1 Corinthians 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some are Gentiles, some are slaves and some are free. But we all have been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, "I am not part of the body because I am not a hand," that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, "I am not part of the body because I am not an eye," would that make it any less a part of the body? If the body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it.
Thank you, Phil. I'm going to chat just for a few minutes now. It won't be for a great length of time, but if there are any young children that want to go out, we've got a little room just out the back there, and I think Tracy's going to organise some sort of indoor cricket for them or something. And looking around, it looks like most of them have gone anyway, so that's fine. Today, as you know, is the final part of our Sow to Grow series. So far, we've considered money and time, and this week, we are considering our gifts and our talents. And we've been thinking a lot, haven't we, about cricket this morning, as England and Wales are about to host the Cricket World Cup. And you know, a successful cricket team reminds me a little bit about what a good church, a successful church, if there is such a thing, might look like. So let's consider for a moment some of the similarities. Of course, the first thing is that you need to be vaguely interested in cricket, don't you, if you want to be in a cricket team. The more that cricket thrills you, the better chance you'll have of enjoying being part of the team. So it stands to reason, therefore, doesn't it, that we need people that are quite excited about God in order for a church to work well. And we've discovered, haven't we, that a cricket team is not just full of people who are generally good at cricket. Successful cricket teams are made up of people who are particularly gifted in one particular area, whether that's batting or bowling or fielding. And those people bring their own particular talent to the team. Now, in the same way, I have not seen any churches yet, to be honest, where everyone is good at every single part of church life. People are gifted in different ways, all of which together go to make up a great church. And then, of course, in a successful cricket team, each person contributes and works not for their own interest or for their own glory, but for the good of the whole team. There is no I in team is a motto that I'm sure you've heard many times and is often applied to team sports and environments. And so similarly, if a church is going to thrive, it needs to be the same. One person's individual thoughts or crusade or agenda must always be yielded to the overall health of the whole church family. Church too is a team game. You could also say there's no I in church, which I don't think there is there? Then finally, of course, a cricket team needs to have goals and aspirations in order to be successful. It needs to be focused on one direction and be totally committed to achieving its aims. And church is no different. Just like a cricket team, it needs the absolute commitment of everyone, the full participation of everyone, all who are headed in one direction with one vision, one goal of making and growing disciples. We just read from 1 Corinthians 12, and when Paul describes the church there, he uses the example of a body. We're all one body, he says. Even though we're all individuals with different interests and personalities and gifts, we are part of the same unit, the same family, the same body. And just like in our bodies, we have different parts. We do different things, like eyes or ears or hands or feet or hearts or stomachs. Each of these need to do their part in order for the body to function well. The body only works if every bit of it plays its part. If there's one bit of the body that doesn't work, then we know that the whole body suffers. And in the same way, Paul is saying, for any church to function well, for it really to be the body of Christ, all of us need to play our part, to contribute our own skills and gifts and talents. Because otherwise, just like a body, the church suffers too. So, okay, so maybe you get the analogies, the body thing, the cricket team thing. You understand it. But so what, you might be thinking? Why should you care if the church is a winning team or not? Maybe you're the kind of person that, instead of international cricket, prefers just knocking about in the park. Maybe you're happy with a different game completely somewhere else. Maybe you just don't care. You're not that worried. But I want to offer this morning two reasons why I think that we should care and why it does matter and how the way that we respond matters. First of all, let's consider God. God is always a good place to start, isn't it? God, you see, is not like a manager of a cricket team. No, God is a creator. In fact, God is the creator, the artist, the craftsperson, the one who puts everything together in the first place. And God created each of us. And when he did, we've already considered God created us in God's own image. When God made you, he made you good. In fact, it says he made you very good. God was pleased with what God had made. And God has blessed each of us. God has blessed you with skills and gifts and talents and graces that are unique to you. Psalm 139 says that we are all wonderfully and awesomely made. God planned us before we were even born. And in each of us, God displays God's handiwork, God's image, God's mark, God's signature. The Bible often talks about another analogy and describes God as being like a great potter, making things of infinite beauty and wonder. And that's what you are, a thing of infinite beauty and wonder. Now, if I go down to the local craft fair in a village near me, I know I can, buy paintings that have been done by local artists. And they're very good, most of them, and to be fair, I can probably get one just for a few pounds. However, if I want to buy an original painting by somebody like, I don't know, Picasso or Turner or Monet, then I'll have to spend millions and millions, won't I? Because they are masterpieces created by a master artist. And so are you. You have been handmade by the greatest artist of all time. And so today I want to tell you that you are a masterpiece. God has made you special and has blessed you with your own unique set of gifts and skills and talents. So here's the question: what are we going to do with them? Ephesians 2:10 says this: "For we are God's masterpiece. God has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." Did you notice that last bit of that? God has made us brilliant and he has given us gifts and talents so that we could use them to reflect God's brilliance in creativity, so that they could be used to do great things for God. And that takes me to my other point. Whatever it is that God has blessed us with, we are asked to give back to God. In Ephesians 1, Paul writes this beautiful hymn of praise to God. He thanks God for all of God's blessings to us. And there's a refrain that is repeated three times. The refrain says that we've received all of these blessings from God in order that they all might be for the praise of his glory. For the praise of his glory. That's the point of it all, you see. That all we have, all we've been blessed with, is not for our own benefit and pleasure alone, but to be used to enrich all of God's creation. That other passage that Phil read to us from Exodus 35, we see Moses, who has a job to be done. The people of Israel are in a desert. It's really important for them that they know God is with them on their journey. And so, they need to build a dwelling place for God that was called a tabernacle. And did you see what happens? Now, God, of course, could have just gone, abracadabra, and there would have been this amazing tabernacle just there, appearing from nothing. But here's the thing. God had actually already gone abracadabra when he made each of those people of Israel. Because in each of them, God had given the skills, the talents, the gifts to make the tabernacle. And the people responded. They knew that they could contribute, that they could make it happen, and they did. They rose to the call, and they volunteered to give all that they had to make sure that God was right at the centre of their lives. And so what I want to say today is that God has already gone abracadabra to you and to this church here at PMC. God has given us different gifts that we can all use for God's church here, to be a church that really will be for the praise of God's glory. Now, if you were a cricketer, the greatest honour that there would be to receive an international call-up to the national team. You would have been blessed with gifts and talents that could be used to bring glory to the nation. There would be no greater privilege. And for each of us gathered together as God's church here, we have all been made in God's image, blessed with different gifts and graces and talents. And now we are all called and invited to use them for the praise of God's glory. We've been called up to the team. There is no greater privilege. We have been selected to be part of the body, part of the team. So what, I wonder, will you do? How will you respond? How will you answer the call? What I think we're going to do now, given the time and what we've done and thought about, is worship group, I think we'll skip straight to the last hymn, if that's okay. And you know that card that you've all got in front of you, or with you? Hopefully you've still got it. You will also see at the edge of each aisle here, a set of rows, is some pens. We're going to sing again now our final song, our final hymn. And the hymn asks us the question, have you heard God's call to get involved? And what I would invite you to do, please, is just to write on that piece of paper, the back of that team that you've got, what is the gift, the talent, the skill that you are prepared to use for building God's kingdom?